Okay. So we are in Perek Lamed Aleph, Musar Day of Perek Lamed Aleph, and there is a Shabbos section here as we head in towards the ending of the building of the Mishkan. Ends with this. We've appointed someone who's now going to be in charge. And then there is this mitzvah of Shabbos. Now, of course, every time Shabbos is mentioned several times over the course of the Chumash, the two main times that Shabbos is mentioned really is Zachoris Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho and Shemoris Yom HaShabbos. That, the two times that's mentioned in the Aseret Dibros. So what is being added here? So there are a few things that one can make a case that is being added over the course of this section that is not over the other section. So one thing that is a little unusual that you'll find, if you look at Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. So Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. Anybody have their Chumash open to that? You see anything unusual about it? It's not a very long Pasuk. It's not a very long pasuk. What is? Anybody find anything unusual about Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis? Yeah. Nothing unusual.
Sure there is.
Anything unusual? What do we normally? How do we normally introduce a Hashem's speech to Moshe? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. This is Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor. So right away, the Mefor should pick up on that. So there is a Medrash that comments on this, a Michilta, that says, Vayomer Hashem lo ayde malach velo ayde shliach. That Hashem said it, not by way of an angel and not by way of a messenger. That Vayidaber is Hashem spoke, so there's maybe some kind of messengership or something like that involved. Here Hashem said it directly. Of course, Hashem said all the things directly to Moshe. But we added perhaps a little bit more. So the commentary there comments, Shema mina sh'amr lo ba'atzmo v'atam sh'nasim lo b'tzina sh'lo yadu mizeh sari umas olam. So why would this be different? So Hashem said this quietly to Moshe so that not everybody else would hear. He didn't want the other nations to hear about it, that Shabbos is something that is unique between Hashem and Bnei Israel. Okay, we have that concept, but maybe we'll get back to that later. But Malbim makes another comment that Hashem said by Yomer, as opposed to Vidaber, that Hashem said it to Moshe, and Moshe said it four times to Bnei Yisrael. What do you mean four times to Bnei Yisrael? So there's a Gemara in Eruvin that comments that whenever anything was taught, so was Bnei Yisrael heard it four times. And Moshe taught it to Aaron, then Aaron taught it to the Zakenim, the Zakenim taught it to Bnei Yisrael. So if you're there the entire time, so you would hear it four times. So this Moshe repeated four times. So that was really the injunction that was being done here. Why? So Mitzvah, so as it says, v'atad daber, that you should speak achashav susai tishmaru. That v'atap, v'yimur Hashem Moshe Lemor. Usually it says, daber b'nei Yisrael v'yimar ta'alehem. It's usually how it goes. Here it's, v'yimur Hashem Moshe, v'atap daber b'nei Yisrael. And you're going to speak it to b'nei Yisrael. Why? Because the Shabbos is so important. When Shabbos is considered an oath, Shabbos is considered a sign, it's considered some unique connection between Hashem and b'nei Yisrael, and that's why this gets special treatment. One can go on and point out one other thing over the course of this pasuk, where it says v'shamru, that's something that is place here. There it is. Something else that is added here: v'shamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbos lasos es Hashabbos l'dorosam b'ris olam. That is found over the course of this parsha. So, what does it mean? Shomer shmiras Shabbos. What is that talking about? So, there is a suggestion that is out there, and we've had this idea of Shamur before, and I think we've invoked this before, but it's an important passage nonetheless. Remember what we talked about, the term Shmira? Anybody remember? From Bereshis? Where did it come up over Bereshis? So there was, in Parshas, Vayeshev. Yosef told over his dreams. And all the brothers were all really annoyed about it. And what does it say? The brother is really upset. And the Aviv and his father, meaning Yaakov, Shamaris Hadavar. What does it mean, Shamaris Hadavar? What does that mean? So the Or HaChaim comments, Perish Mamtin Umitzape Matai Yavo. That he waited and he anticipated, he desired when it's going to come. That's the implication that the Or HaChaim means. Yaakov was wondering, I wonder when that's going to come. All the brothers are upset. Yaakov's saying, That's interesting. I wonder when this is going to happen. What did he mean by that? Shlo yehas Shabbos gedar v'torah. So what does it mean? The shamor means. What does it mean to shamar or shamor? So generally, we assume it means to watch, to guard. No, according to the Rechaim, it's to anticipate. It's to desire. It's to look forward to. And we've quoted in the past from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, dug up once from the Apterov, the Avas Yisrael. The Avas Yisrael, that's the Sefer of Avram Heschel, but not that one, his like great-great-grandfather, not the one who was the teacher in the seminary that marched with Martin Luther King, his great-great-great-grandfather, I think, the Apterov. So he made the comment that that just as Vaviv Shemar Sadavar that Yaakov anticipated, what does it mean to be Shomer Shabbos? What does it mean to to be Shomer, to desire, to look forward, to anticipate the Shabbos? Which means that Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos is not just about making sure that one observes Shabbos correctly, but it's that one prepares for Shabbos correctly. And that's actually what the Rambam writes. The Rambam says, what does it mean to have Kavod Shabbos? We talked about it in Shul the last couple of weeks for some reason. So what does it mean, Kavod Shabbos? So Oneg Shabbos is what one does to enjoy Shabbos itself. Kavod Shabbos is what a person does in order to prepare for Shabbos. And the Rambam says at the very end of Hilchos, in Hilchos Shabbos, Ezu Kavod, Zusha Amru Chachamim, Shemitzav Al Adam, Lirchot Panav Yad Varag, a person is commanded to wash his face, hands, and feet, Becham with hot water bearer of Shabbos, Yifnei, Kavod Shabbos. Umisatev Betzitzis, Beyoshi Bekovid Rosh, and he should put on tzitzis, and he should sit in Kovid Rosh. He should sit Miachal Kabbalah Spineshkin in order to prepare. He should sit like seriously. He should sit like Kovid Rosh with I don't know what the right best term is. Sincerity. He should sit with anticipation for the residing of the Shekhinah. By the way, it's interesting. The Rambam says there he should sit. He should put on tzitzis. We need to put on tzitzis. What about the rest of the week? He doesn't put on tzitzis. So that also came up in Shul recently. What a person's commandment is to wear tzitzis the rest of the time. If one reads this Rambam, it sounds like it's a special Shabbos garment or something. So the truth is, the Gemara. I'm going to find the Gemara. I forgot what daf it's on. It's not here. Truth is, the Gemara doesn't say putting on tzitzis. The Gemara says he put on his sudden in tzitzis. So what are sudden? Sudden is referring to linen garments. So he put on his linen garments with tzitzis on it. So you could understand that as being that he put on the tzitzis with the linen garments, but that's interesting. I thought maybe you could even add in that tzitzis might mean fringed. I might be referring to the mitzvah. It just had the idea that it had fringes on it, made it nicer and fancier. Like, of course, our talisim has the fringes at the end. Of course, it makes it much nicer, right? Whatever reason those are there. So maybe it's not even talking about tzitzis itself, or at the very least talking about putting on the special linen garments with the tzitzis. Now that is an interesting idea, because there's also, we discussed in Shul recently, the idea of wearing linen garments with tzitzis is a little bit problematic for the reasons that a tchelis string of the tzitzis has to be wool. So if we're wearing a linen garment and you're putting on wool tzitzis, so that's something called shatnas. So the Gemara explicitly permits that, says that is allowed, because that's the only way to fulfill a mitzvah with a linen garment is put on wool tzitzis. However, there was a gezeira that was made against that, that's talked about in Maseches Menachos, that because we were concerned of forgeries. We were concerned of tcheles forgeries, that instead of it being tcheles, it was going to be called kala ilan. Kala ilan is dye from a tree, indigo, that they were using indigo dye from a tree rather than from a chilazon. If that's the case, you're wearing linen garments with wool tzitzis that are dyed blue, but aren't tchelis, in which case you'd be violating shatnas. So therefore, there was a gezeirah made not to wear. Okay. Anyways, that's what the Gemara comments, and Rambam picks up on wearing tzitzis. It'd be interesting to know what the Rambam, if you could track down what the Rambam if the Rambam deal with wearing a talis katan at all. Well, how did he deal with that? Maybe it just means that you would put it back on. I mean, if you're washing yourselves, so one could say that I'm washing myself, it's already coming nightfall, so maybe I'm not going to put my tzitzis on. Because it's already nightfall. So maybe the Rambam is saying, no, even though it's Erev Shabbos and it's about to be nightfall, still you should put your tzitzis on nonetheless. Okay, anyways. So that concept of Vishamru is brought out here. That is the idea of anticipating Shabbos and preparing for having good of Shabbos, which is often used to talk about the mitzvahs ases on Shabbos, that we have to prepare for it. So that has two notes that I just wanted to add on to that. Number one is that when one looks into a sitter with regards to Kiddush, so mark in here. When one looks into Kiddush on Shabbos day, right? So Kiddush on Friday night, so there's two paragraphs. Everybody says the same thing, Kiddush on Friday night. What about Kiddush on Shabbos day? So there's three paragraphs there, and different people say different things, right? So what is, so there's Zachor is Yom HaShabbos, there's V'shamru B'nai Yisrael, so Shabbos, Shamru is this Pesukim, Zachor is the Shabbos, the Parsha of the Aseres HaDibros. I generally say Zachor is Yom HaShabbos Akadsha. Why? Because I don't like starting the word with an end. There's a V'shamru is end. It's like end going on something before. So I usually go with Zachor, but the truth is V'shamru makes sense. Why? Because that is actually reference to the mitzvahs ases, the positive commandment, the idea of Kavod Shabbos, of honoring Shabbos, comes from this parsha. So therefore, Shabbos day is a celebration of the mitzvahs ases of Shabbos. That's what you're making Kiddush on. You're making Kiddush on the idea that we're about to eat. So therefore, one should recognize the mitzvahs ases. The truth is, if you really want to recognize the mitzvahs ases, you would point to the other paragraph that is on that list. Right? When you look at a sitter, there's three paragraphs, Zachor, V'shamru, and there's another paragraph which nobody says. Why does nobody say that paragraph? So number one is that it's why not? Why don't people say it? So the main reason probably is that there's no good tune that goes to it. That's probably the main reason. Another reason is that nobody else says it, so therefore why should I say it? And third reason is also in Nach, it's in Navi, it's not in the Torah itself. But that pasuk might actually have the most relevance to the daytime Kiddush. Why? So what is that pasuk? What is that section? So that's in Perek Nun Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel in the book of Yeshaya. And there it says, Im Tashiv, yes, very good. Im Tashiv Yishavas Reglecha, that if you'll turn away your foot, Asos Cheftzecha Biyom Kachi, from the Shabbos, by doing things on the day, by doing your needs, taking care of your needs on the day, V'karas L'Shabbos Oneg Likdosh Hashem Mechubad, and call the day, I mean, turn away from, turn your feet away from doing your things on my holy day. Don't do the things that you normally do. Do holy things on this day, including what? V'karas l'Shabbos, and call the day of Shabbos enjoyment. Likdosh Hashem mechubad, to honor Hashem. V'chibadato me'asos darchecha, and you shall honor Him not doing your own things. Mipso chavtzecha v'davar davar, and neither finding your own chavtzecha, your own objects. V'davar davar, and saying things that you speak during the week. I mean, you should be doing different things than you do during the week. That is a reference to the mitzvahs ases of Shabbos. So if somebody asks, why is one not permitted to ride your bike on Shabbos, even if it is inside of a neiruv? So probably the best, even though there are some fine makoros in other places, the main answer is probably this pasuk. Don't do the things that you do during the week. So perhaps it might not be a din d'orais, it's a din, what we call midivrei sofer. It comes from the words of Nach. These are the mitzvahs asis of Shabbos, the mitzvahs to keep Shabbos separately, differently than one does other days of the week. And then the pasuk actually continues on, as tis anag al Hashem, v'hirkafti al b'mosai, you'll delight with Hashem, and it'll cause you to ride upon the holy places, right? V'achal ticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, kipi Hashem daber. So that is the, by the way, this is the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. It's included in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. So that is the idea of keeping mitzvahs ases. That's what that pasuk in Yeshaya comes from. It perhaps is alluded to in this pasuk of Vishamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbos, that you're going to not just keep the Shabbos, but that you're going to cherish the Shabbos. You're going to recognize, you're going to look forward to the Shabbos, you're going to excitingly prepare for the Shabbos. And that brings us to a famous piece that Rav Soloveitchik has in Al HaTshuva, in the book Soloveitchik on Repentance. So there is, towards the end of one of his essays, so on Repentance is the Rav gave drashos every year between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Aser Simei Tshuva is called the Kinos Tshuva Drasha. It was given, but for the, actually it was not given at YU. It was given on behalf of the Rabbinical Council of America. They're the ones who sponsored it. It was, I believe, in Yiddish, but it was translated into a Sefer Al HaTshuva in Hebrew and a book on repentance in English. So I actually, for several years, I've been like after this, It's out of print. You can't really. I believe it's out of print. If you look on eBay, it's usually like, you know, or Amazon, it's like $60-$70. Finally found one for cheaper. Were able to purchase it. Now I have my very own copy. Summer reading on repentance. So there is a section towards the end of one of his essays where he talks about the that it's because of the Shem Hashem that. That were offered tshuva. This actually is a little bit of the dispute that I had with Dr. Weiss between Mincha Maariv this past week. If anybody was there, you caught that, right? So this falls into that issue. So he brings up the idea that Hashem's name is what guarantees our repentance. That even though we should be depressed about sin, because we have Hashem's name, so therefore there is hope that we'll be able to achieve atonement, which is why Hashem's name is said on Yom Kippur, right? Why is that at various points in Yom Kippur when... when we bow down on during the Yom Kippur Avoda. So what's going on there? Why are they bowing down? Because that was when he said the shame. I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, but in that text it talks about that's the Kohen Gadol saying the name of Hashem, and then he says that we used to bow down and mishtachavim v'omrim Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Yolam Ve'ed. People responded by saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Yolam Ve'ed. But that is the Kohen Gadol announcing the name on Yom Kippur. So why is that relevant? Because that's what shows us that we have an ability to do tshuva. So there is a comment that he makes, however, that's in like a footnote here, where he says, "Allow me, please, to make a private confession concerning a matter that has caused me much loss of sleep. I am not so very old, yet I remember a time when 90% of world Jewry were observant, and the secularists were a small minority at the fringes of the camp." That's 90%. Historically, I have a little trouble. Maybe where he lived, that was the case. I'm not sure that that was true. But anyways, but where he lived, in Kaslovich, 90% of the people were observant. And the secularists are a small minority. I still remember, it was not so long ago, when Jews were still close to God and lived in Asmir pervaded with holiness. But today, what do we see? The pervade and the secular are in control wherever we turn. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's not fine, but that's what he says. Even in those neighborhoods made up predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk about the sanctity of the Sabbath day. True, there are Jews in America who observe the Sabbath. The label Sabbath observer has come to be used as a title of honor in our circles, just like Harav Hagon has... neither really indicates anything, and both testify to the lowly state of our generation. But... it is not for the Sabbath that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten eve of Sabbath. There are Sabbath-observing Jews in America, but there are not eve of the Sabbath Jews who go out to greet the Sabbath with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, and or with their mouths, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. What is the percentage of religious Jews today in contrast to the 90% only two generations ago? It seems to me that religious Jewry survives today solely by force of the name of God, who is there even after man sins, and he continues along on those themes. But here the Rav makes reference to the Erev Shabbos Jew that he neglects. I should have brought, now I'm reading through, I should have brought the Rav's description of Erev Shabbos in Warsaw. He talks about where he used to go to the train station, and he used to observe all the Ger Hasidim would go to Ger, not every Shabbos, but many of them would go. So Ger, the city of Ger, is actually about a 15-20 minute drive outside of Warsaw. So many of the Hasidim, you can still go today to the town of Ger. The Beis Medrash still stands in that town. It's not filled with Svarim, but you can still see the town and see where all the Hasidim used to congregate. But probably the majority of the Hasidim actually lived in Warsaw. So many would go for Shabbosim. Certainly many would go for Yom Tovim. And the Rav describes the train station where all these people were getting ready, set to go to visit the Rebbe for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. And he describes the scene and the feeling of people anticipating, looking forward to Shabbos. And of course, he also has a description, which we've talked about the end of Shabbos, where he used to go to the shtiebel and daven Maariv, and they were singing and singing and singing, and it was certainly long past dark. And he looks at one of the Hasidim who he describes that he recognized him from during the week. He was one of the porters during the week, and he was wearing a bekesha that was filled with patches. He says, "I think the patches made up more of the clothes than the clothes itself, and even the patches had patches." But yet he had. So I asked him, "When are they going to daven Maariv?" And he looked at me and he said, "What? Why do you need Shabbos to leave so quickly?" Right? Why did Shabbos leave so quickly? Are you not getting close to Hashem on this day? Why do we need to go back during the week? So that was what the Rav is describing when it comes to this anticipation of the Shabbos. Okay, so then Rabbi Simon, the Sefer Imrei Baruch here, then turns around and asks, okay, but why is that? Why is it that Shabbos gets these things? I mean, yes, it's true, Moshe taught it over. That was we might learn that out from this section, that Hashem tells Moshe, you have to say this yourself several times. And Hashem made sure, Vayomer as opposed to Vidaber. And Hashem kept it private with Moshe and as opposed to the other nations finding out. And it's something, a mitzvah that we have to anticipate and look forward to and prepare for, as opposed to perhaps other mitzvahs where there's not that incumbency. But what is it about Shabbos that is so unique? So Simon quotes the Gemara Maseches Beitza, where it says, Alakasuf, Vayom Hashvi'i, Shabbos v'inafash. Also a quote from this pasuk, from this section here. On the seventh day, Shabbos v'inafash. It's we rest v'inafash. What does v'inafash mean? Anybody know? V'inafash, we refresh. It's a way of translating it. We rest and we refresh. So Shimon Lakish says, what does it mean v'inafash? We refresh. So he says that is a reference to the neshama yisera, the extra neshama that we get over the course of neshama yisera. No sin hakadosh baruch hu ba'adam erev Shabbos u'lemotzei Shabbos notlus. He takes it away. Shemar Shabbos v'inafash kiven sheShabbos vay of the nefesh. Now as we rest, so we have the nefesh that the neshama that we will lose. Ba'mechavin b'zeh ki adam hu kolal mechumer v'tzuras. So what does he mean by this? Perhaps the kavan is that man has both a spiritual side and a physical side. Gush Gashmias and Ruftias. So all the 6 days of the week, what are we most worried about? We're most worried about our Gashmias side, our physicality of man. But on Shabbos, we get a chance to focus on the spiritual side. And that perhaps is the idea of, that Rashi explains it. What does it mean that we have a Neshama Yisera? So Rochev Lev, you have a wide heart, Lemenucha, Ulesimcha, Liyos Pasuach, Lervacha, that to rest and to be joyous, and to be open, and to be able to eat more and drink more. And you're not going to get, sounds like bloated from it. Sounds like somehow it's not going to have the same effect on you. So if you eat more on Shabbos, you don't have to worry about gaining weight. Oh, maybe you do. But not in the same way. Why? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean a neshama yisera allows me to eat more? How does that work? So perhaps the idea is that by having a neshama yisera, that means more things are then going to be spiritual. That as opposed to during the week when eating is a purely physical activity, on Shabbos it is a spiritual activity. And therefore we have the ability to take more of it in. We have the ability to take more of it in because it is a spiritual act rather than a physical act. That, of course, is assuming that a person perceives it as such, that person uses it as such. I remember my grandfather, who I spoke about at Siyam a little while back. So on Shabbos, he used to bring out the food, and he used to, you know, whatever he was about to eat, and he would take a bite, he would say, L'chavut Shabbos Kodesh. And he didn't just do it once, he did it every couple of bites. He'd say, L'chavut Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavut Shabbos Kodesh. That's the idea of having a neshama yisera. So, one other idea along these lines that he raises is that the Gemara that Shabbos is also tells, the Yerushalmi tells us in Shabbos, Rav Brachi b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, lo litnu Shabbosus yom tovim ela lasok behen b'divri Torah. That's only given to us in order to be involved in the divri Torah. V'hainu ki mechavin shim haShabbos miskaveres koach haNesham b'yeser she'es u'v'yeser oz. That the power of the neshama should be stronger and will be greater, and will be able to gain more from that. Now, there is another Gemara. So he comments that the Meiri quotes this Yerushalmi and adds in and says, you know, Yerushalmi amru kama mi ango mar amar b'shena umar amar b'tamid Torah. That there's another Yerushalmi that says that how much does a person benefit, you know, can gain enjoyment on Shabbos. So one person, how does a person gain enjoyment on Shabbos? So one opinion is b'shena, by sleeping. Another one says by learning Torah. And it says v'lo pligi kam b'tamid, the Yerushalmi, the Meiri taught says v'lo pligi kam b'tamid kam b'val habayis upiru. Sorry. The Yerushalmi continues on and says, one opinion is from enjoyment, and the other one from sorry, from Talmud Torah, one says from Sheena. So, v'lo pligi, one is talking about a Talmud Chacham, and one is talking about a balabas. One is talking about one who works. So, what's the which one is which? Which one is which? Which one is the Talmud Chacham, and which one is the balabas? So the commentary in the Yerushalmi that the Miri quotes is, well, obviously the Talmud Chacham gains from learning, and the guy, the Baal Bas, gains from sleeping. So the Miri says, Vani Omer, as you might anticipate, Vani Omer Hefech, and I say the opposite, Hadvarim Shatalmud Shoshona Kol Yemei HaShavua Mekayim B'Shabbos Oneg Sheina, that a person who is spending the entire week learning, so he gains on Shabbos the enjoyment of sleep. Sholi Heisichlo Love Yosem Yidai, so he doesn't tax his brain too much. Okay. Aval Baal Habayis, Shemisase Kol Yemos Tachoba Askav, but a Baal Habayis who's involved all week in his work, Roy Loli Sasek Me'at Bishaz Tamat Torah, Derech Oneg, Vehu Shereis, and that's his quote. He's the one who has to be involved in Shabbos within of Tamat Torah in order to benefit from it, and in order to gain that idea. I mean, a person who is physical throughout the entire week, in order to gain the spirituality of Shabbos, has to gain spiritual things. If a person is already spiritually attuned the rest of the week, so then come Shabbos, he can gain spirituality through the physical activity.
Because he's doing something different.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's doing something different, and he recognizes the spiritual nature of those physical activities. He's able to get himself to that point. And just one more idea from this pasuk, from these psukim as well, that it says at the end, "Ki ani Hashem mekadoshchem." That's how it. Where is it? Keep the Shabbos. Observe the Shabbos, because I'm the one who sanctified you. So the Gemara comments in Masech Shabbos. Tanyanami Hachi Ladas Ki Ani Hashem Mekadoshchem Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Matana Tova Yeshli B'Vayis. I got a good present in the house, Ginzi, that's hidden. V'Shabbos Shemun, it's known as Shabbos. V'Ani Mevakesh Litnu Yisrael L'Chol V'Yodim, and I want to give that special present to the Jewish people. So what does it mean that it's a special present? It's something that is hidden, something uniquely that we're able to use and we're able to take advantage of and we're able to gain from. So now that it's today's Wednesday, preparing for the next Shabbos. That's why we say L'chunaran. It's L'chunaran in a day that we say at the end of Shir Shal Yom. So being a Shomer Shabbos Jew does not just mean on Shabbos observing the Shabbos, but it means preparing for it in these days already. So we already could recognize our status as being a Shomer Shabbos Jew beginning today on Wednesday as we prepare for the upcoming Shabbos. Have a good, happy L'chunaran in a day to all.